This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of The Edric Show. I am your host, Edric Jerome. This is the place for intelligent conversation with interesting people. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button, drop a like, leave a comment, let me know how I'm doing as I bring you interesting content each and every week. Very special guest today. My guest is producer and filmmaker Drew Holly. His latest project, Buffalo Soldiers Fighting on Two Fronts, recounts the complicated legacy of African-American soldiers who sought a better life in the United States Army after the Civil War. Drew is also the founder of Black Ball Films. One of the goals of Black Ball Films is to provide an answer to the lack of diversity and underrepresentation in the film industry. Buffalo Soldiers Fighting on Two Fronts premieres on June 12th on PBS and June 19th on World. Drew, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Edric. Happy to be here.
Appreciate you coming on. Let's get right into it. So Buffalo Soldiers is such an iconic chapter in American history. What motivated you to want to tell this story, especially in you know, today's times, 2023?
So I started this project in summer, Juneteenth to be exact, 2018. I was taking my daughter. I was actually volunteering for the Langston Hughes Juneteenth Festival. They had a festival every year. I have volunteered previous for their film festival, and I, you know, just followed up like, well, do you need any more help? The reason I was volunteering is to kind of get familiar with this new film, Black film community. I have moved. I'm a transplant from Denver, Colorado, up to the Seattle area. While I was there getting some footage of the festival, and at that time it wasn't well attended, right? And that was something I was thinking, like, man, I should do a documentary about Juneteenth and the history of Juneteenth. Because people have forgotten about Juneteenth. And this was just like, what, 5 years ago, and now it's a national holiday. And so I brought my little girl with me. She was six at the time. After a while, you know, while I was getting footage, she checked out the festival, and then I heard her say, ooh, horsies. I looked up from my camera, and I seen this all-black regiment galloping up the hill on horseback straight out of the 19th century. I was, you know, I was in awe. My daughter was then like, who are they, Daddy? And And I was stumped for a moment. Like, who are these fellas? Then suddenly it dawned on me. I said, I think these are the Buffalo Soldiers. I was a little sad that she had, you know, that she probably wasn't going to be taught this history and that I had forgotten this history. So being the filmmaker that I was, I went this direction as a elder in my community to continue to pass the baton and to pass down the story to my daughter and other youth.
I imagine putting together a documentary like this takes a lot of research and, talking to people, talking to scholars. So what were some of the materials you used, primary source materials? I mean, were there things like journals, diaries? And if so, what were some of the things that really stood out to you that people may not be aware of about the history of the Buffalo Soldiers?
Yeah, we use a lot of General Charles Young, who was a colonel at the time. He had just recently been promoted after his death 50 years later to Brigadier General. You know, he had a lot of material, and there was a few diaries in the Pacific as we were in Panama and Guam. There was also some journals from the wives of officers where the Buffalo Soldier's name was first mentioned in a publication. But unfortunately, a lot of this black soldier in the military is collectibles, and collectors have them in their personal portfolio. So finding this material wasn't easy, right? But thank God for men like Anthony Powell, who has his own amazing collection, and he was able to supply us with a lot of images, a lot of journals. We have some of Moses Williams and Kathy Williams, actually their medical records and re-enlistment and what's the word? Where they left the military?
Discharge.
Discharge. Yeah.
I imagine when you started, you said in 2018, and here we are in 2023. And I kind of alluded to it in my question. And we talked a little bit about it before we came on. There are elements now that actually don't want these types of stories being told and are actively seeking to erase this history. So as you were making this film and as you look at it today, you know, with some people who are literally trying to discredit or devalue Black history, which is American history, how do you approach it now, knowing that this is such an important piece and story that needs to be told?
You know, I very much am honored to be on the fight of getting this American history, this lost American history, out to the masses. Time like this, this history is being so politicized. I live in a small community, Vancouver, Washington, which is right across the Columbia to Portland. And this community is a bit more, on the conservative side. During the time when I was making it, I think they wanted to focus more on the patriotism, right? So I was able to raise some money over here. I'm not sure today if they would have those same opinions with the way that this history is trying to be, stifled.
Even the platform that you're on, and congratulations on being on PBS. I mean, that's, PBS is iconic. I'm a Sesame Street kid. I mean, PBS has been part of my life for a long time. It's the network of Ken Burns. And so how did it feel when you realized and knew that this was going to be on PBS?
You know, that was the mission the whole time, right? This was an educational film. I could have made a more contemporary film and followed the Buffalo Soldiers of Seattle Living History Group, which is an amazing group and was actually my muses, and they're part of the reenactment parts of the film. But to have it, broadcast across the nation on PBS is definitely a dream come true. That was the plan from the beginning. It was a long, treacherous journey, and I'm thankful that we made it through. And I'm overjoyed that it's I can wash my hands and allow that to go, that child that I raised to go be a part of the world.
And I'm going to give a quick shout out. I'm blessed that my father is still part of my life. He's 83 years old. And growing up, one of the things that he often and still likes to watch are those cowboy movies from back in the day. And so there seems to be this, for men of his generation, there's this affinity for Wild Western, frontierism. And he always used to tell me about the Buffalo Soldiers. So what has been the response of some of the people who may have screened it already, especially some of the folks from the older generation who I would imagine this brings out a little bit of pride and historical truth?
So that's been one of the most rewarding parts of this project, right? Is getting to take it out. And for that generation specifically, we don't think of our elder Black men as an audience, but they are. Right?
They are.
They right. And as, although we were trying to aim it at a younger generation, we are getting, amazing support from our older Black male audience. And and we made it for them as well. Right. And that's just something that they can honestly relate to. So, yeah, that's been one of the most rewarding parts. A lot of people have been super complimentary. Right. We've done everything from OMSI, Oregon Science Museum Institute, to up in Port Angeles, 3 hours north of Seattle, to high schools all over the place. And, the responses vary. But the overall arch is that people are, very happy with the project. We did receive a review that, that I still think about, right? And it wasn't the best review. It was from Film Riot. And they said a lot of complimentary things. But the thing that stuck out to me, they was like, what's the difference between Buffalo Soldiers fighting on two fronts and the movie that your teacher put on in seventh grade once she runs out of The Men Who Built America? And I was first taken back, like, oh man, that's that's rough. But then, after I took some time to process it, I reconsidered that, first I'm honored to be in the same breath as The Men That Built America. That's what's actually one of my inspirations while making this project. And two, this film is supposed to be in that seventh grade class because we don't have anything else. So people are being raised and tell, why didn't they teach us in school? So this is that resource that should be in those schools so people don't have the same lack of understanding of the Black experience in the military.
You titled it Buffalo Soldiers Fighting on Two Fronts. And the notion of fighting on two fronts is something that has been carried on from generation to generation of Black soldier from Revolutionary War times, Buffalo Soldiers, Civil War, World War One, World War Two, the double V situation where victory against fascism, victory against racism at home. And there seems to be this theme that is carried on throughout the history of Black soldiers. Can you speak to the challenge that Black soldiers face, maybe particularly with the Buffalo Soldiers, in that not only were they fighting for, a notion of a nation, but they were also trying to fight for just basic freedoms and dignity as human beings?
Yeah, we struggled with the title of the film for a long time. We couldn't just name it Buffalo Soldiers, right? It needed a subtitle. And, the thing that kept jumping out to us, and even Shelton Johnson, Ranger Shelton Johnson, says it in an interview. He was like, these men were always fighting on two fronts. They're fighting who the commander says they have to go fight, and they're also fighting the commander, right? They're dealing with, these are former sharecroppers, the actual Buffalo Soldiers, the veterans of the Indian War were sharecroppers, right? sons and daughters of slaves, right? And mm-hmm. getting the opportunity to make more than they have ever seen or their family had ever seen and not be in the field was a huge opportunity for them. So Buffalo Soldiers fighting on two fronts, it honestly came naturally, and it was just right in our face the whole time. People even tried to sway us to call it Buffalo Soldiers Fighting for Survival because, you know, the first thing they would think about is the Bob Marley
song, right?
But we resisted.
Congrats, man. Good move. I would imagine that the pressure of people trying to put their stamp on a film like this, especially for you know, filmmakers of color, is immense. Were there other types of pressure put on you or other ways that people were trying to get you to maybe change some things, some of the narrative?
You know, the Buffalo Soldiers' involvement in the Indian Wars was something when I first started out the film that I wasn't particularly aware of, to be honest with you. And I learned that very early on and during the course of making this, of course. And it was something that I believe everybody wanted to make sure that I stay honest about, right? And it was definitely an elephant in the room that needed to be discussed. But all it does is open up that discussion, right? This was a different, more complex time. You have editors. I went through three different editors. They all had their own style and opinions, and producers, right, who wanted to add their input. And so to keep your own, you know, again, we wanted to make something that would not be old next year. If we make something more contemporary now, then next year it seems, you know, it's old. We got masks on now. Wear masks last year, right? So in a couple of years, like, oh yeah, that's back in COVID. We wanted this film to be something that will be a resource to be able to use as long as the technology is there for 10 to 20 years.
Another aspect is you were giving me a little advice before we came on about having a team. And so in addition to yourself as being the producer and the filmmaker, who are some of the folks in your team that helped you get this project complete?
Yo, it's too many to list. We have, you know what I mean, 30 different people that worked on this project, from our producer, Deborah Simon, to my editor, Dan Evans, to my research producer, Dave Hedberg, right, was critical. My creative director, Ayana Albina. I just butchered her name. Ayana Amanda. Amanda, excuse me. So yeah, all these people were critical in making this project. One thing I learned when I was transplanted back here to the Pacific Northwest, I was a one man band in Colorado. I was making web videos. It was, you know, I wasn't making enough, you know, I wasn't making a lot of money. And the projects, you could tell they wasn't great because I was trying to do everything. Coming up to the Pacific Northwest, I got a chance to take like two steps back, and I became a production assistant, right? It's not trying to make my own film. I was working on the overall Amazon commercial or web commercial or something like that. But these were like hundreds of $1,000 commercials.
Right.
And they have people who are experts in their part. So I was able to see how a real behind the scenes, how these really sets work and operate. And, you know, I was able to transfer that into my company, Black Ball Film, and into the work of Buffalo Soldiers Fighting on Two Fronts.
Let's talk about Black Ball Films. First of all, where did your love for filmmaking and doing this type of work come from? Where'd you grow up? And then add to that, tell me about Black Ball Films.
So I remember very early on in my life, I was able to watch TV, and I've always loved TV. But there was a point where I was able to start to see that these people were acting and that this show wasn't real life, that it was a a show, and I was able to see behind the performance, right? Mm-hmm. I was able to see the set very early on. And I remember in high school was my first opportunity at directing, and it was some like some Christmas talent show where I was, where I, you know, my class against the other classes, and we had to come up with a skit, and you know, the best skit won. And now, you know, and I wrote the skit, came up with the idea, and was kind of the behind the scenes, like, yo, let's put you here. This is what the story's about. And actually, I think I played the main character at that time, which was the reindeer. But we got second place. There was out of the three classes, so that was my first jumping into directing and kind of understanding the behind the camera world. And what was the other question,
Edric? Tell me about Black Ball Films, your company.
So Black Ball Films, I'm up in the Pacific Northwest, where our community, our Black film community, is limited. But what I notice, and I could be guilty of it myself, is that as in our Black community altogether, we're not aware of all the many positions that it takes to make a film, right? We want to be director or producer, not recognizing that there is actual livings in hair and makeup and craft services and location scouting to, you know what I mean? There are, mm-hmm. are like a million jobs, and we only got like a narrow focus because we're not aware of these other different positions that we would excel in. So Black Ball is an opportunity to not only give our people and start to make our own economic dependence in the work that we want to do, such as if somebody's interested in film, understanding that more than director and producers, that there's other work to be done and that we need those people in those spots. Otherwise, our sets are all white. So Black Ball Film is the answer to the lack of diversity in the film production world.
You mentioned it took 5 years to get this project onto PBS. Again, it'll be airing on June 12th on PBS and June 19th on World. What's next for Drew Holly and Black Ball Films? What's your next project you're working on?
So we're working on a number of things, but the major next documentary that I'm working on is New Slave, right here. It's about the prison industrial complex and the use for crime, profit for punishment. Mm-hmm. You know, 7,000 different major corporations make millions of dollars on inmates while exploiting their labor, only paying them, you know, pennies on the dime. Mm-hmm. For example, my cousin, right, who was in prison in Colorado, he was on a camp or a farm or wherever they call the prisons there, and they wanted him to wrangle wild horses. And he had to sign a paper to say that if he get killed or maimed while wrangling these wild horses,
indemnification, right?
He can't sue or his family come after them.
Wow.
And if he didn't do it, then he was going to be punished.
Mm-hmm.
How does that, what is that?
Slavery, man.
Slavery.
We know what it is.
Stay tuned.
We'll be looking out for that. And when it drops, or, you know, hopefully I can have you back on again, man. I really appreciate talking to you today. If people want more information about Black Ball Films, where can they go?
Go to blackballfilms.com or buffalosoldiersmovie.com. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. And you can find me on LinkedIn, Drew Holly.
Excellent. Well, again, Drew, I want to thank you for coming on the Edric Show today. We really appreciate the work you've done, the importance of putting this history out, particularly in today's context, because it is real. People are literally trying to erase the contributions of African Americans to American history. And it's time we stand strong, and films like yours will do just that. So thank you so much for putting this project together.
Thank you, Edric. Thank you for having us, and thank you for putting the word out on the project. I hope everybody check it out.
You are very welcome. This has been another edition of The Edric Show. My guest has been Drew Holly, filmmaker and producer. His latest project, Buffalo Soldiers, Fighting on Two Fronts, will premiere on PBS on June 12th and on June 19th on World. I am your host, Edric Jerome. As always, this is the place for intelligent conversation with interesting people. I want to thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you on the next episode.